Morning. Thank you all for being here. We are going to get started and call the meeting of the Post Council together this morning. First of all, I'd like to excuse Sheriff Nathan Curtis, who's not able to be here today, and excuse Mayor Troy Walker, who's not able to be here. And then welcome Spencer Turley, who's here as a proxy for Jared Garcia. So glad that you're here with us. First item on the agenda today is approval of the March 2025 minutes, which you have in your packet. So if anyone's had an opportunity to review those, would like to make a motion in that regard.
Motion to approve from Janet
Williams and a second from Mike Rappage. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor of approving the minutes for the March 20th, 2025 meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you. That's unanimous. And I'd like to turn to Director Reese for some introductions.
Okay, I've got one introduction. We have a new attorney, and Keenan Price. I'll have Keenan introduce himself a little bit. I will say I was fortunate enough to work with Keenan when he was in the mayor's office at West Jordan. And by chance, he was recruited over by the AG's office, and I was really happy to see it. He's very capable, and I'm glad he's on our team. Keenan, go ahead.
I've spent time working in a handful of cities. I most recently came from the courts up in Farmington in the 2nd District, and glad to be here. I'm replacing Blythe.
Thanks, Keenan.
Welcome. Glad that you're here. And then we'd like to have our quarterly reports, first of all from Captain Newland and then Lieutenant Buck.
Good morning, Council. Post Investigations Bureau statistical report for March 1st to May 30th of 2025. We received 57 complaints. Of those 57, we opened 35 investigations, which is 61%. We closed 13 cases with no action following investigation, which means of the 57 complaints, we took no action or no case on 84% of those. We had one administrative hearing conducted. During the same quarter, we had 15 voluntary relinquishments. One was for unknown reasons. This was one that was provided to us as a voluntary relinquishment without a case, which was unusual for us, so that was unusual. We had one for lying under Garrity, DV, interrupting a communication device, false statements, unlawful exercise of police authority, deactivation of a recording device, unjustified use of department vehicle, unauthorized release of confidential information, and conduct unbecoming, which was one voluntary relinquishment. Three, I believe, for sexual conduct on duty. One for falsification of government record, one for theft, one for obstruction of justice and negligently operating a vehicle with serious injury. We had patronizing a prostitute and sexual conduct on duty, one for lying under Garrity, one for custodial sexual relations, one for interruption of a communication device, one for striking a police canine, and two for dishonesty and violation of departmental policy. For background reviews, we did 312 reviews for basic training, 18 for dispatcher training, and 24 applicant reviews for waiver reactivations. Current caseload for investigations is 82 open investigations, and 62 active investigations. And our average time to close this quarter was up from last quarter. We were at 259 days, but that is almost entirely because we had some very old cases that are coming before you today. We have one that's almost 4 years old, one that's about 700 days, and most of those are waiting for criminal processes to finish. Our average time to close for cases open in 2025 is at 93 days, which is right around that three-month mark that we want to keep. Any questions for investigations? Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. Lieutenant Buck?
Good morning, Council. For the post basic training statistical report for period March 1, 2025 through May 31st, 2025, for the basic training academies, we certified 41 LEOs, 32 SFOs, and 29 dispatchers. For upcoming basic training academies, we currently have 387 Leo Block is going on from July 16th through September 18th with 49 enrolled in that academy. And we have the full block of 388 beginning July 14th through November 6th and 50 enrolled in that academy. For in-service training, we have number of in-service classes offered were 39 and total number of in-service hours were 576. Waivers and reactivations, we had 11 waivers and 14 reactivations during this period. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. And we'll turn now to John Jacobs for a quarter one curriculum update and a curriculum committee discussion.
Good morning, Council. Today will be, annually we have the Council approve our curriculum for the year, and so we'll be doing that here in a minute. You'll be able to find that in your packet titled Proposed Course of Instruction for Special Function Law Enforcement and Correctional Officer. There'll be no, we're not requesting changes at this time. However, we want to fulfill our statutory obligations of having you approve the curriculum annually. For the update for our curriculum, our structure development program, in the last year, we've now held 9 sessions, training 198 instructors. The other key thing that is a success point for this last quarter is Department of Corrections has 2 fully trained instructors, and so they are now able to run instructor development independently with post oversight, but they are now instructors of instructors. And so we have several other agencies that are in the process of completing this certification. And so we'll be able to start gradually moving the holding of the courses away from post staff onto agency staff to better serve the needs around the state. As far as an update, we do have a wellness grant that is developing right now, and that'll be some of the changes we're going to be looking for in the next quarter. We will be kind of rebuilding our wellness with the officer training, and so that is one area we're working on. Defensive tactics is also working a curriculum committee on that. They have been meeting for several times, and they will be kind of working towards working a revision of the defensive tactics, and that'll be another change that'll be kind of coming this year. So I'm kind of prepping you that we are in the works of several things happening right now, and then also we're still working on our integrated curriculum, and so some of those courses will be coming in the next quarter. But at this point, for our proposed changes and also the correctional officer training, they will be having some changes coming. We kind of mentioned, I got word from your staff that you'll have some things coming in the next quarter. And so we will have a little more substantive changes for you in the next post-council. But for now, just to meet this requirement, we would need a motion to kind of adopt what we have here, which is the same curriculum structure. The only changes we've done is not to hours or classes, but we've conformed to any legislative changes that have happened this last year. We've updated our curriculum and our testing to make sure we were valid with that. So we need probably just need a motion to or a discussion to on our curriculum for this year.
Any questions or discussion on the curriculum?
Make a motion to adopt the proposed fiscal year 26 course instruction.
Motion from Darren Adams to approve the curriculum. Do we have a second? Second from Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor of approving the curriculum, say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed?
The next item is we do need an additional 1 or 2 persons on our curriculum committee. I talk about all the work we're going to do, and then we're going to ask for some people to join. So right now on our curriculum committee, we have Maya Liu, we have Colonel Rappage, Sheriff Sparks, and Chief Swanson. So we're missing one, and it would be nice if we had 1, maybe 2, just to kind of distribute some of the work we're going to be doing. Really, for the curriculum committee at Post Council, it's we send you documents for you to review and give input and give insight. And it gives the council a little more opportunity to have input in the design and development phase versus the approval phase. So we would need maybe 1 or 2 more council, maybe just 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sween. Appreciate your volunteering for that. That's great. Is there any other council member who has interest in being on that curriculum committee? Is there any other council member that wants to nominate the person next to you to be?
You know, I would just add another area that we're starting to take a hard look at that we're going to have to do some revisions is EVO.
Sorry, I'll turn on your microphone.
That's okay. I think they heard. I don't want to say that too loudly.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do it. I just didn't know if we were looking to, not overweight it with law enforcement or not. So,
Sheriff Wimmer, I think you'd be a great addition to that committee. So the new members of the curriculum committee will be Dr. Sween and Sheriff Wimmer.
Okay, thank you very much.
And then we'll turn to our attorney, Richard Jorgensen, for the open meeting training.
Yes, Marcus is going to make a new PowerPoint. Alrighty, welcome. This is your annual open and public meetings annual training. This training is specific to the council. You may be part of another board or commission that will have open training. This is specifically designed to this body. So it's nice when the legislature plainly declares what their intent is for a law, and they've plainly declared that their intent for public bodies is that they exist to aid the conduct of the people's business and should take their actions openly and conduct their deliberations openly. So in that we have the Opens and Public Meeting Act, which says we will have open meetings. To be open and transparent, we need to give the public notice, at least 24 hours. We need to keep records of what occurs during the meetings. The records shall be public, and we allow the public to participate. This is a public body. Post Council was created by Statute 536-106. There are 17 seats on the council, and most of you are here because of your position with public employment. The duties of the council are to approve police academies, courses of study and equipment, qualifications of instructors, minimum training requirements of officers, in-service training requirements, and to make recommendations and report to the director and the commissioner regarding use of force standards, best investigation practices, and finally to choose the sanctions from officers that may violate 536211 or the dispatcher code 536-3-something. So you do conduct business on behalf of the public. In the past, it was arguable whether some gatherings of public bodies could be considered meeting if they showed up at the same time or another meeting. This definition was further clarified in 2024. The statutory quorum of the post council is 10 members. The meetings can be called by the chair, the commissioner, post director, or upon request of 9 members. Because of that, it is nice that they changed the definition of a meeting to mean a gathering of a public body with a quorum present that is convened by an individual with the authority to convene the meeting and for the purpose to conduct that. In the past, if you were on a 3-member board and you showed up to the same other meeting or something like that, it could potentially have an effect of being another meeting. If the meeting is going to be remote or electronic, there must be administrative rules in that. Department of Public Safety has established those rules for all of its boards. DPS requires that all meetings have an anchor location for the public to attend an electronic meeting. The only allowed electronic communication during a public meeting is essentially what is broadcast. There should not be any private messages between members of the public meeting. And we do count remote attendance as being here in person. The notice requirements for a public meeting are that 24 hours public notice be provided on the public notice website and on the agency website. That's taken care of by Julie. And that's to provide reasonable notice of what's going to be on the
on the agenda so that the public has notice to the topics to be considered at the meeting, and each topic should be listed as specific as possible under the agenda item. An open meeting must allow the public to observe but not necessarily comment. It is possible to receive comment but is not required. Local school boards, example, may have to allow reasonable opportunity to comment, but comments for this body are at the will of the chair. Individuals constituting a quorum of a public body may not act together outside of a meeting in a concerted and deliberate way to predetermine the action taken by a public body at a meeting in a relevant matter. So everything we do for this body has to be done in an open meeting, basically here. Post-council by statute must meet at least twice a year. If the council needs to convene an emergency meeting, it can. I think it's unlikely there will be need posts. There will be a need for post-council to conduct an hour with less than 24 hours notice where we can get 10 of you together. If that happens, then we will post why we could not give reasonable notice on the public notice website. A signed affidavit and the voting become part of the record. Also, any material that is presented to the board by any member, post, or public comment becomes part of the record and will be retained and published by the executive secretary of the board. A recording of the open meeting shall be complete and unedited, including all portions of the meeting from commencement through adjournment. And that audio is posted on the public meeting website and is required to be posted within 3 days. The minutes of the meeting include the date, time, place, location, names of people present, matters discussed, etc., so on and so forth. Pretty much everything that happens here, Julie has to take notes on. She can rely on the audio record for a lot of that. Because there are 17 seats on this board, to keep adequate records, please vote yes, aye, nay, or if you do abstain, mention that you abstain, just don't remain silent. Unapproved minutes are posted in draft form and must clearly be indicated that they are not approved. They have to be posted within 3 days of the meeting, 30 days. Now, the audio is posted within 3 days at the conclusion of this meeting. All breaks are recorded. Like I said before, the audio is an uninterrupted recording from start to finish. All deliberations and discussion must be open and verbal. Members should not be having side conversations or texting each other during the meeting. There is not a requirement by statute to close a meeting. For this body, it is a you may close it. There is not a shall. For other bodies, there may be shall meetings such as Health and Human Services and Child Welfare. If we hear disciplinary cases that involve physical or mental health of an individual before a closed meeting can be conducted, the open meeting must be held. The vote to close a meeting is entered by the minute into the minutes as a by-name vote for or against the closing. The minutes include the reason for the closing of the meeting, the location where it's a closed meeting, and what essentially the substance of it was. With a large body such as this, a unanimous vote is easy to record, but because a by-name vote must be recorded, if you are opposed or do abstain, please make that known so Julie can have an accurate record. The reasons we close the meeting are most typically for the discussion of physical, mental health of an individual. Those closed meetings do not have to have audio recorded. If you close the meeting for other purposes other than the physical or mental health of a person or security, the audio is recorded, but it is kept protected under grandma. During a closed meeting, the final action on a vote cannot be taken. The only vote that's allowed in a closed meeting is to reopen the meeting. A motion can be presented and discussed during the closed meeting to protect the security and privacy interests. If the discussion is not related to the purpose of what the meeting was closed for, it cannot happen in the closed meeting. If it's related to some other part of the discipline, it's got to be conducted back in the open meeting. As soon as the board is satisfied with the discussion that you will no longer have to discuss the reasons for closing the meeting, the physical or mental health of the officer, then we will reopen the meeting and we will reconvene. Any motion will be restated on the record, and then the final action will be taken in an open and public meeting. If there are multiple closed meetings, each officer is entitled and shall have their own closed meeting. So we'll close it for one, open it, and then close it for another. If there is a violation, it's possible that his Class B misdemeanor includes 6 months in jail, and then a court can void any action taken. Actions to enforce the violations of open meeting can be done by the county attorney, the attorney general, or any person who is denied the right under Open and Public Meetings Act. Any questions? 5 minutes or less.
Next on the agenda, some post-disciplinary guideline revisions. Marcus Shockey.
So after the last meeting, there was, last few meetings, but after the last meeting in general, there was discussion regarding our disciplinary guideline notes that are at the bottom of your, so these are in your packets, right? The post-disciplinary guidelines. If you notice at the bottom, it does have notes there. These are some of the revisions, if you note. We also have that revision in there as well. There was just some matters that needed to be addressed to ensure that we were staying consistent and making sure that the council, all members, understood the positions we were taking. So this is the revision that POST is offering for these post-disciplinary guidelines. Essentially what this does is it allows for time served to be credited to the officer. This is paid, and it does clarify now that it's paid and unpaid administrative leave. It also allows if they're currently not suspended, they still get that. There was some times where we didn't know if they had come back, if it was from the date they were terminated, or if they were going to receive credit for the time served for those short period of suspensions, like a week. So that does clarify that they do receive that the credit for that as well. And then we also have a clarification whether if they're employed or not. So if they're not employed, and they're seeking to renew an inactive or certification, then they do get credit for the time served in which they were not operating as a peace officer. So that's the clarification on recommendation number two. It's just clarifying we removed we weren't doing this. This is because how POST has been operating is we've been just charging all of the counts at the same time. We haven't been having multiple counts and then running consecutively or concurrently. So we removed note two and just clarified on the dispatchers when their suspension runs, and then note three is just the same. So any questions or concerns from the POST Council regarding these suggested revisions to the POST disciplinary guidelines?
Particular to those cases that we have which are brought before us for falsification of information to obtain certification, post-application.
So that one we do still need to revise the administrative rule because it does specifically clarify that it is 2 years from the date of that particular offense.
To date from the time that the information is submitted.
Correct. 2 years from that. So we do need to, if that's the way the council does want to look at changing, we do in our rule. So it's Utah Administrative Code R728-409. It provides that it is very specific in regards to the falsification one. So if that's something that you guys want to look at, we do need to change that rule.
Any questions or comments about the proposed disciplinary guideline changes?
We need a motion.
Colonel Rapping, motion to accept. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second from John Crowley. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, all those in favor of approving the proposed post-disciplinary guidelines, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, motion's unanimous.
Okay, next on our agenda will be the disciplinary cases. And the first case that we have before us, and I apologize in advance for mispronouncing some of these names, Martha Alandra. Is Martha Alandra or counsel for her present? Marcus.
This is the certification of Martha Alejandra with the, formerly with the Weber County Sheriff's Office. The substantiated allegation is driving under the influence and reckless driving, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post is recommending a two-year suspension, which is above the one-year baseline, and the reason for that is she had a previous post case that was DUI-related back in 2018. Summary of the facts are as follows. Martha Alejandra, a certified law enforcement officer, was investigated for driving under the influence. The investigating officer observed Alejandra driving westbound in the eastbound lane and initiated traffic stop. The investigating officer observed Alejandra had slurred speech, glossy and watery eyes, and an odor of alcohol coming from her. Alejandra provided two breath samples, which showed a 0.095 BRAC and a 0.104 BRAC. Alejandra was prosecuted for DUI. She pled guilty to reckless driving as part of a plea agreement, and during a post-Garrity interview, she admitted to consuming several beers earlier in the day and stated she was not right in her mind. On May 29th, 2025, she waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Post? Again, this officer doesn't appear to be present. So we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to accept Post's recommendation of 2 years suspension.
Thank you, Chief Guillen. Motion to accept.
And we have a second from David Peterson. Any discussion on the motion to accept Post's recommended sanction of 2 year suspension? Okay, all in favor,
say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed?
Passes. Mr. Yock.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Joel Armendariz, formerly employed with the Utah Department of Corrections. Substantiated allegation is electronic communication harassment and lying under Garrity. This falls under Category A and D of the post-disciplinary guidelines with a baseline of revocation, and Post is recommending the revocation. Aggravating circumstances include the multiple offenses. Summary of the facts are as follows. Joel Armendariz was investigated by a local police agency for assault, threats of violence, and electronic communication harassment. The investigation discovered that on March 10, 2023, while at a local bar, Armendariz saw his ex-girlfriend sitting at a table with his friends. Armendariz walked past the table, stopped, looked back at the table his ex-girlfriend was sitting at, hesitated, and then walked back to the table, stopped, and threw a drink at his ex-girlfriend, causing alcoholic beverage to get on her face and clothing. Armendariz walked away and was later confronted by his ex-girlfriend. After the confrontation, Armendariz also sent a text message after being told to stop. Armendariz entered a guilty plea to be held in abeyance, that was held in abeyance to the charge of electronic communication harassment. During a Garrity interview with his department, Armendariz stated he was just walking in the bar, saw his ex-girlfriend, was startled, and spilled the drink on her and himself. Armendariz was asked if he threw the drink at his ex-girlfriend multiple times during the interview and said he did not throw it. During a Garrity interview with Post, Armendariz stated that when he was interviewed with LEB, so the Law Enforcement Bureau with the Utah Department of Corrections, what he told them was his truth. Armendariz never admitted that he threw the drink at his ex-girlfriend. He admitted to calling and texting his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, and does not recall being told to stop contacting her. After Armendariz said he never contacted her after that point. On March 4th, 2025, a hearing was held before an administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued a finding of facts and conclusion of law stating that Armendariz violated Utah Code annotated 53.6-11 as outlined in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Post? Mr. Armendariz, your counsel for Mr. Armendariz, would you like to address this body?
Yes. Give me a second. It's a lot of people. So, good morning.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I appear before you with a deep respect for this process and with a sincere desire to provide clarity and context around the events that led to the disciplinary action. Let me begin by stating this clearly and without hesitation. Did not lie. The version of the events I shared was not a fabrication. It was a genuine recollection of the time. However, I now understand that my memory of the night was flawed. Alcohol was a factor. And as we all know, alcohol can distort timelines, emotional interpretations, and even the sequencing of events. That doesn't excuse the inconsistency, but it does explain how my version differed. What I expressed was never an attempt to mislead or evade accountability. It was simply what I remembered and I believed to be true. I was actually the individual that contacted the local police department and reported the incident, hence the accountability. I take full responsibility for the confusion that resulted. I ask that you acknowledge the difference between a mistake and a lie, between a memory clouded by circumstances and deliberate attempt to deceive. We often like to think the truth as a single fixed point, but in reality, especially in emotionally charged situations, truth can be layered. It is possible, and I would argue common, for two people to walk away from some same moment with different understanding of what occurred. That doesn't make one person inherently dishonest. It simply means that the perception and memory are imperfect. And in this case, my memory was in fact influenced by alcohol. Now I must speak frankly, because I honestly demand it. Because honesty demands it. I feel it's important to raise a concern that is deeply troubling me, and I have undeniable proof that the other individual was fully forthcoming in the most recent application to become gainfully employed by Conroe Heights, including omitted past cocaine use and sexual relations off duty with another agent. I have undeniable evidence of this. I raise not as a personal attack, but because I believe honesty and transparency must be held to the same standard across the board. When one person's account is held up as an absolute truth and the other's mine is treated as inherently suspect, despite a proven record of service and trustworthiness, it creates profoundly unfair dynamic. I reiterate, I am not here to deflect any blame. I was not just navigating a disagreement. I was up against someone who knew how to bend the narrative and capitalize on a moment when I was vulnerable and off balance.
And we're just going to object to this just because it's coming into you. We're talking about the other witness.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm a decorated officer. I have committed myself to a life of discipline and integrity and service. The awards and recognitions I've received, not just plaques on a wall, they're a testament of the choices I've made day after day under pressure with eyes watching, and doing the right thing wasn't easy. I've led with honor. I've mentored young officers. I've owned up to my mistakes when they've happened, and never once asked for special treatment, only fairness. This moment, though, has felt profoundly unfair. Was not given the grace to explain, was not given the benefit and consideration, and what I've stood for. One moment, one discrepancy, one flawed recollection, and suddenly years of service character called into question. I'm not standing before you to deny responsibility. I'm here because I believe integrity also means showing up, and it's hard. It means standing in uncomfortable truth, not running from it. I've done that consistently throughout my career. I'm doing it now. What I ask for you today is not just fairness, but leniency. I respectfully ask that you consider a deviation from the proposed disciplinary action in light of my full record, not defined by one moment, but the totality of who I am and who I have proven myself to be. I ask that you weigh my actions, not just in isolation, in one context of a, but in context of a decorated career, consistent integrity and a commitment of accountability, even when it comes at a personal cost. In your deliberations, I respectfully ask that the panel give due regard and recognition to the authority of the judicial branch, specifically Judge Landau, and his capacity as a presiding judge of Salt Lake City Justice Court, who dismissed this case with prejudice and therefore has been expunged. Thank you for your time and thank you for your consideration, not just what happened, but who I am and who I've consistently proven myself to be.
Spencer Turley, would you like to recuse yourself from this case?
Yes.
With that, are there any questions for this officer?
Marcus, did you have something further?
Just waiting to rebuttal.
In regards to this, I'd just like to draw your attention to the findings of facts and conclusions of law order, just to show that the events, as stated, did in fact occur. It was that he intentionally threw the drink at her, and so and just clarifying that it was an intentional act.
Thank you. Any further questions? Yes, sir.
One thing that I would like to add is, in previous post sessions, even Colonel Ravage, I remember there was a conversation about officers and participating in Garrity interviews and whether or not, you know, it should be punished or what ends up happening. And I participated in every facet of it, every Garrity interview, even when I didn't need to. I didn't need to come to post and speak to Sergeant Barnett, and I elected to. I wanted to be a part of that. And it wasn't to try to benefit myself. It was to do what was right. And I believe that shows a lot of integrity. It could have easily, I mean, sitting here, I would recommend other officers just quit and find another job, and you'd be fine. Way easier than jumping in and being uncomfortable and taking that accountability. And that's something that I did. I'm sitting here. I'm not sitting here to deny anything that occurred. I never did.
Thank you. Any questions? This off. Here, would entertain a motion. We have a recommendation from post for revocation. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Motion to accept the recommendation of post.
Thank you. Motion from Stuart Young to accept the recommendation. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Colonel Ravage. Any discussion on the motion to accept post recommendation for revocation? Are y'all in favor of accepting that? Please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, that motion passes. This case is Justin Bassett, Mr. Yockey.
Certification of Justin Bassett was not employed at the time of the incident and is not currently employed. Substantiated allegation is willful falsification to obtain certification. This falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 1 year. Post is recommending 1.5 years, and the reason for that is due to the falsification on multiple applications. A summary of the facts are as follows. Justin Bassett, an unemployed post-certified law enforcement officer, was administratively investigated by Post for falsifying information to obtain certification. As a result of the investigation, Post was able to show through clear and convincing evidence that Bassett willfully falsified two Post applications to obtain certification. He waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Post?
Just a clarification on the question you asked earlier. Didn't you say by admin rule it's 2 year suspension for willful falsification?
I think I did.
We changed that, Martha.
Did we change it?
In the guidelines.
So, give me a second. Rich, if you can assist on that, or Keenan.
So the rule reads 1 year waiting period. The time the division becomes aware of the falsification.
1 year. So I apologize. I said 2-1. That's what I get for trying to cite it off memory, and I will be better in the future. So I apologize for that.
So it's 1 year, but we're going 1-5
because of the multiple applications.
So, well, there's also continuous. If the falsified information is covered by other sections of this rule, including state and federal criminal offense, and a specific warning period is required, the division shall require the applicant to wait the longer of the two periods. So it could lead to the retail theft or the marijuana use waiting periods, but I don't think those expired anyway.
Had I asked us Justin Bassett or counsel for Justin Bassett present? Appears not. Any additional questions for Post?
Make a motion.
Please, Swanson.
To approve post recommendation 1.5 year suspension.
Motion to approve 1.5 year suspension, and the date that suspension would start on, would that be
the date of the knowledge, the receipt of the application?
So they would receive credit from the June 7th, 2024 date.
So based on this, if the officer is not currently employed or seeking to renew a certification, the officer may receive credit for time served from the date of the involvement in the conduct or the date of conviction, whichever is later.
So Chief Swanson, you want to add that to your motion? Would that be
so added?
Calculated from June 7th, 2024, 1.5 year suspension. Do we have a second for that motion?
David Peterson with a second. Any discussion on the motion to suspend Justin Bassett for 1.5 years, calculated from June 7th of 2024? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous.
And Chief Swanson, I apologize for my misstatement. I won't make it again.
The next case is Mark Betancourt.
Certification of Mark Betancourt. Currently employed with the Salt Lake City Police Department. Substantiated allegation is falsification of a government record. This falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 1 year. Post is recommending 3 months. And this is due to the mitigating circumstances of it was a common practice in this law enforcement agency, and there was a lack of oversight due to supervisory oversight in regards to this matter. We do have a few that are very similar, just giving a note, and this is kind of a side note. We do have, I believe, five that are come before the council that are very similar to this matter from this agency. So just emphasizing that's why we've deviated down from the 1 to 3 months is the common practice and lack of oversight. So a summary of the facts are as follows. Mark Betancourt, a certified law enforcement officer with Salt Lake City Police Department, was investigated by his agency for falsifying multiple time cards. The investigation discovered that during the month of October 2022, Betancourt signed up for homelessness camp mitigation shifts. The shifts were separate from his regular duty shifts, and he was paid a higher hourly rate while working these mitigation shifts. The shifts focused on removing the homeless camps within certain areas of the city. Salt Lake City Police Department compared the GPS data from the vehicle that Betancourt was issued and the work time he claimed on his telestaff time card and found multiple discrepancies. The three most egregious dates were October 14th, the 16th, and the 21st of 2022. During these shifts, Betancourt either left his residence or a shift started or arrived at the residence before the shift ended. These three dates combined for a total of 2 hours and 22 minutes. There was no criminal charges filed, and after Salt Lake City Police Department administrative investigation, Betancourt was given 2 days off without pay as discipline. On January 14, 2025, during a Garrity interview with Post, Betancourt could not provide a reason for the discrepancy. Betancourt said these things were difficult in his personal life, and during that time, he just did not know why he was constantly late leaving his home or leaving his shift early. On May 14, 2025, Betancourt waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Post? Here's Mr. Betancourt, Councilor President.
I had a question. Can you clarify what common practice means on the slide?
So the agency, we have multiple officers doing it. The agency, it was just common practice amongst the officers to record time that how they explained it, and maybe Travis can jump in on this.
I had some discussions and discovered it kind of started with some flexible schedules with COVID, work from home type stuff, and then these particular shifts, they were giving guys credit for being in the area, not an exact post, and there was a little and. Essentially, Salt Lake City discovered they had the problem. They started looking at it. They looked back through a lot of records. It wasn't these hours that were built up over multiple incidents and added up to get the times that you're going to see on these. Frankly, my position was, and Salt Lake City's was, is there was some lack of supervision also that contributed to this. That's why we downward deviated.
Further training that will be required for Salt Lake School District, Salt Lake Department, for this change.
They identified the problem. I believe they have it fully addressed, and then they referred it to us. because of code they needed to. So they took all their action, and then, you know, of course, but part of that was they had to refer to us, and now months later, it's here.
I know we're dealing with several of these today. My question is, are there any that will be coming in the future that are similar to this that we know about?
All of them should be very similar as far as the time and everything like that.
Will we have more in future?
Oh, you're from Salt Lake City Police Department. From what I understand, no. These are the ones that were submitted to us.
Everything that all of them that are here before us this morning, I'm a little disappointed in now that there's a little more information on the culture that was happening, and I'm glad to see that we're treating them all the same, or there at least there's a downward deviation, but I'm just disappointed in the actions of the agency and the lack of supervision. I don't think that's an excuse to me. I mean, for me personally, I know if I'm working, I'm either there on the job and doing the job that I'm being paid for, or I'm not. So it's black and white to me. So I'm just going to say that up front.
Thank you. Are there questions for Post? I think we should probably hold any further discussion until Mr. Betancourt has had an opportunity to speak to the council. But are there questions for Post?
Yes, I just have one question. What entails moving of the camps? And I know.
So that would be, so it's homeless mitigation, individuals assisting them, individuals who have drug problems, making sure that they're cleaned up so that needles and everything are removed from those camps, and then helping these individuals go and get the resources that they need.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Sergeant Barnett has additional comments.
Sergeant Barnett, Post. Speaking with these officers, and my understanding was it was the homeless that were camping in front of businesses on the sidewalks that they were trying to move out of the way for the local businesses in that area, keeping those areas clean for those businesses and for the citizens is my understanding. I think that sounds correct.
Thank you, Sergeant Barnett.
How do you do that from home?
Mr. Betancourt, would you like to address the council?
So, good morning, everyone. Sorry, I wish we could have met on a much better circumstance. However, in these shifts, so the few that I have was I just was arriving late. I worked every single shift, but I just arrived late, and I forgot to just change the time that I actually arrived in the city and was working on my time cards. So. And I take full responsibility. It's my fault. There was a lack of supervision. However, I mean, still, it's my fault that I didn't understand in the time card information that I could just adjust when I had come in. I just put, let's say, for 6 a.m. or something, I was supposed to be there. I showed up at 6:46 or something. I should have been putting in my telestaff that time difference, and that is kind of what my main issue was. I didn't, when I was in FTO, it was very brand new. This was back in 22. I just got off FTO. I decided to pick up some overtimes. I didn't have too much training in FTO with the overtimes because a lot of officers don't do it. They always advise me to, you know, live below your means so that you could, you know, don't have to burn yourself out with the work that we do. And for me, there was some other personal things going on, but yes. So I arrive mainly late for most of my shifts, and I take full responsibility for that. But at the same time, it's a mistake that I made, and I'm here letting you know that I accept that mistake that I made. And that's pretty much all I've got for you guys. So appreciate it.
Any questions for Mr. Betancourt? Okay, back to the council for discussion or motion.
Chair Fuller.
Kind of referring to it as a culture, but I don't know if five or six officers within an agency the size of Salt Lake City constitutes a culture. Yeah, and so I'm a little bit with Chief here. Seems pretty black and white, and I would expect there to be 60 or 70 officers coming before us for these minor discrepancies in time card. But just that's kind of my take on it. I'm kind of struggling with it being a cultural issue with there being so few actually coming before us the size of that agency. Just a comment.
I think more than culture, it's a supervision problem. Because in one of these I read, I don't remember which one, thus the question was the supervisor allowed the person to work the shift from home. That's definitely a supervision problem.
In my looking at them and our discussion on the recommendations, that was what stood out to me was certainly the officers have full responsibility, but there was some supervision issues that allowed it to build up and dig a bigger hole. I'll just share with the council also, on some of our recommendations, I'm looking at when we suspend some, but the agency identified, they found the problem, identified the problem, dealt with what they thought was appropriate, and now it comes to post, and this has been done for them for a while. And when we look at my as I evaluate where we're at, and I think there's some room for some correction, is if someone is suspended for 3 months, that sends if I'm suspended for 3 months, that sends a very loud message. And am I dealing with, am I trying to correct a problem and salvage somebody? If I suspend them for 2.5 years, they're basically done. And so I almost challenge the council to maybe evaluate what we have been doing and where we're at. We have agents, and this is just one example, we have agencies that are trying to salvage these officers and fix problems, and oftentimes they end up being better. You know, when we have something that can be fixed, we end up with better officers. But when we suspend them for 3 years, they're out. And yet, hot stove theory, you know, what is the difference between 3 months and 1 year? It's a big difference from the officers. But now, when we suspend somebody or we would revoke them, we're saying they should no longer be a police officer. But when we suspend them for 3 years, we're basically saying the same thing. So I would challenge the council. I think we should reevaluate on how we're addressing some of this. That's my perspective.
I understand that. The hard thing for me to get out of my head is, and I 100% agree with everything you said, is that we just suspended somebody for falsifying a certification, never worked a day as an officer in his life, and he got a year and a half suspension. We got officers that worked multiple years, some, and maybe 3 months for not just falsification of a record, but also theft. But what makes it easier in my mind to go with what you're saying is I think the supervisor should be standing here because they allow this. Yeah. When a supervisor allows this to happen, it can become a culture. And so to me, that's the part of responsibility should be the supervisor saying, yeah, I work this from home, or hey, just put that on your time card.
I agree.
Combination 100%. Here going on.
I agree 100%.
Was it the supervisor that turned this over and found out that they needed to make amends with what they were doing? They turned it over to post. Do you know?
I don't recall exactly.
But it wasn't just one supervisor. There were some processes.
Captain Newland?
Mr. Chair, just the context for the council. In my conversation with Salt Lake City's IA department, there were more. They sent us the most egregious ones. I don't know how many, but there were more.
So to add Chief Swanson's comments, and I think this is what POST is trying to do with their recommendation of 3 months, is deviating down, because it was just as much on the supervision or the what was happening within the Salt Lake City Police Department as far as supervising and allowing this to happen. Again, you referenced one of the cases we'll be looking at where one of the supervisors told them that he could work from home. So again, comment was made. I don't know how you do that from home, but again, that I don't want to get too far into it. But I believe that's what POST is trying to do, and what Director Reese is mentioning is they're going to deviate down to try and not to end careers in this particular situation. So,
thank you, Chief Rowe.
Sheriff Wilmer.
I tend to agree with a lot of what's been said. I don't disagree that. These cases are very salvageable officers, and I'm ready to make a motion unless people have other comments.
Just really quick, before any motions are made, I had two matters really quick. Counsel for the respondent would like to speak, and I actually have a counsel for another respondent from a very similar matter that was hoping to introduce a memorandum. We at Post can't introduce that because it goes as far as evidence, so it would have to be considered by the council. It's a memorandum from the captain regarding the homelessness mitigation. So please understand, it is not related to Mark Betancourt's matter. It is related to one of the other matters, but I've received a request because it does impact that client as well.
So those, but it's a memorandum that it would have applied to Officer Betancourt?
So I don't think it would have applied. The memorandum that I was sent did not say, address anything about claiming time you didn't actually work. It was, if you sign up for a 6 to 10 shift, you have to work 6 to 10 and not 8 to 12. So, and that they are assigning sergeants to take care of missed shifts, or if you sign up for a shift, you have to take it, you can't just release it. So I don't think it's applicable to the claiming hours not worked.
So the other matter is?
Counsel.
Thanks. Not to take any of your time too much, but a little bit of clarifying and additional information.
Would you please state your...
Oh, sorry. Yes. My name is Jason Sweat, counsel for Mr. Betancourt. In the investigation that Salt Lake PD did with these individuals, of which there are many, my understanding is that there were several dozen officers investigated, and the most out of the mean, I guess you would say, issues were sent to Post. And my understanding, and I think Sergeant Barnett could clarify this, is it took a few years before it was sent to Post from what happened. If I'm not mistaken, it was sort of circa 2022 that this was going on. So we're not here to trash SLPD by any means. It's just a matter of, if you're talking about culture and sort of who's being held accountable for the culture, today we have one of many officers who are going to be sort of here for your deliberation, and I think that's helpful for you all to understand regarding sort of what was going on.
Thank you.
And we do agree that it happened in 2022.
Thank you. Sheriff Wimmer, did you still wish to make a motion?
Yeah. I got a respect for Salt Lake City's efforts to correct this and their obvious desire to keep these officers. I would make a motion to downward deviate to a letter of caution for Mr. Betancourt.
I don't know if we're allowed to do it. Are we going to hear anything new from the remaining four officers? And if not, is there a way we can find all of them right now and make one motion instead of wasting time?
You have to hear each officer individually. You could, if you want to hear, I guess, executive.
Do you want me to? So it's up to the council how you guys want me to proceed.
Could we table action on this one until we've heard them all and then come back and address them individually?
I think that would be.
Would that be appropriate?
Sure for that.
Council.
I mean, that would make sense for sure.
I think you could do that as far as, because they are all accused of the same violation, same agency, same time frame, would be fair to your comparison.
So we entertain a motion to table this case until we've heard the other related cases and then come back to each one for a motion on the sanction.
So
motion. So moved by Chief Swanson. Do we have a second? Second by Chief Adams.
All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? And then do we need another motion to take these out of order, or can we move forward?
I can take them however you guys want. So,
so we do have a motion to amend the agenda to take all of the Salt Lake City related cases and hear them one at a time. Do we have a second on that motion?
Second from David Peterson. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Yeah, Mr. Yockey, would you like to move to, I believe the next one would be Aaron Hargrove?
Yes. The next matter is a certification of Aaron Hargrove, currently employed with the Salt Lake City Police Department. Substantiated allegation is falsification of a government record, Category D, POST is downward deviating from a one-year baseline to 3 months based on the mitigating circumstances of common practice and lack of oversight. On September 24th, 2024, Aaron Hargrove, a certified law enforcement officer with the Salt Lake City Police Department, was investigated by his agency for falsification of time cards. The investigation discovered that during the month of October 2022, Hargrove signed up for camp mitigation shifts. The shifts were separate from the regular duty. The shifts focused on homeless camps. Salt Lake City compared GPS data from the vehicle. Hargrove was issued from the vehicle that he was issued and the work time he claimed from the telestaff time card and found discrepancies. During the four most egregious incidents, Hargrove was compensated for a total of 14 hours and 52 minutes, stated that he worked these shifts, just maybe those hours that were documented in telestaff. The review of the telestaff calendar showed Hargrove was within Salt Lake City limits for less time than what he was compensated for. The statement that Hargrove worked the hours just at different times does not match the GPS. There's no documentation showing Hargrove worked from home during these days, and there were no criminal charges filed. And after the SLCPD investigation, he was given 3 days without pay as discipline. During Garrity interview with Post, he stated that he believed he worked those hours and that he put it on his telestaff time card, and stated he may not have worked the camp mitigation during the assigned hours, but he did work them during the week. He waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice.
Is Mr. Hargrove or counsel present? Would you like to address the body?
Counsel, if it's okay, I think it might be helpful to possibly introduce some additional information to answer some of the questions that you've just had.
Would you mind stating your name?
My name is Lindsay Jarvis, and I represent Mr. Hargrove on this particular case. What I want the counsel to understand on this is what had transpired is the original allegation came from a Salt Lake City officer who was working for the department who was bragging that he was signing up for the shifts and then he was not working them. This came to light in January of 2024. And so what Salt Lake City did is they ran an audit and they picked October of 2022 and they looked at just that information. And so what you're seeing are some of the officers from that October 2022 audit that had occurred. Not any of the other cases involved in the camp mitigation that went on for several months and years. The other issue is that when the information was brought to the city's attention, it was actually brought to the attention by the union, the union representative, who wanted to make sure that the chief was aware of what was going on at that time, because the concern is that there was no supervisor. There was nobody supervising these camp mitigation shifts. And so what happened in the letter that I referred to, and Mr. Jorgensen, you tell me what you'd like me to do with it.
I don't think the email from Captain Diamond's relevant.
Okay, so some of the questions were in regard to what was happening. And so, again, the audit was done in October of 2022. This email is dated November of 2022, advising the officers about this situation and telling them to no longer engage in the behavior that had previously been accepted. And so that's what I would argue is the relevance of the letter. I think it's important for proposed counsel to understand what was happening here. The issue is that in November of 2022, after this audit was conducted, two sergeants were then assigned to oversee the camp mitigation shifts, and that's where the supervision changed. But prior to that, there wasn't anybody watching these. And so the culture is that the officers could sign up for the shifts. They were usually four-hour increments. And what was happening is the officers were working those shifts, but not necessarily within the hours for which they signed up. And that was what the culture issue was, is that if you signed up from 6 to 10, if you go in and work from 12 to 4, nobody's defrauding the city necessarily of that 4 hours, but they're not being worked within the range that they're supposed to be. And that's what happened with Mr. Hargrove. The additional issue with Mr. Hargrove is that his supervisor, because he was working in detectives at the time, his supervisor actually notified, as part of the investigation, that she gave him permission to work from home. The issue that comes into play here is that because this investigation was brought in 2024 and for post purposes in 2025, giving the officer the ability to go back and figure out his exact location, what he was doing, if he was working from home, where he was at, the reason that we accepted it is because we actually can't prove otherwise. So yes, the GPS device says that he was at home. We also have a supervisor who says that during this time, he was routinely allowed to work from home. And so he's in the city for, you know, the 40 hours of the week that there's an issue with. Plus, he in particular signed up for 16 shifts to which there weren't any other problems with. It was these few that are identified in this particular document to, again, which he maintains he was working. They were just done at different time periods. So I think that answers the questions.
So we will hold on making a decision on this case, but are there any questions for this specific officer?
I do. So I don't know if your explanation clarified this at all.
Okay.
The fact is every agency in the state uses overtime shifts specifically to put officers in a particular place at a particular
Correct.
Time for a Absolutely. Specific purpose. I guess where's the confusion on how does that translate to I had an authorization to work from home so I can work an overtime shift under those criteria from home. The other question I have is there any other time where you don't have explicit documentation of what you spent your time and what you were doing at a particular time, but for some reason on this one we don't?
So to answer your first question, there are two separate issues in Mr. Hargrove's case. I don't know what the facts are of the others. Hargrove's was different from the standpoint that he was a detective and not a patrol officer. And so his agreement with his supervisor was that he was allowed to do part of his shifts from his residence, his ordinary shifts. And so some of the times since the audit was done as a result of checking GPS devices, in accordance with what the shift times were, if he wasn't in the city during that 4 hour time frame that we talked about, then that's considered something that he didn't work. But what we have in his situation is that he was working from home. The hours were changed, and I totally agree with you that every agency in the state, if you have a time frame to which you're supposed to be working, that is what you do. But that goes back to the culture and the situation that was happening in Salt Lake City, is they were allowing the officers to sign up as long as they worked the hours within the week, then there wasn't a problem until there was. Does that make sense?
No citations, no notes that we took action on this particular camp, no follow-up info. There was absolutely no documentation to account for three shifts whatsoever.
There's lots of documentation for the majority of the shifts that he was working for the camp mitigation. The only documentation that he was provided access to was the GPS records and the time cards. And because that 2 year time frame had elapsed, Salt Lake City said that they didn't have any of that information to provide us as part of his defense. And that's part of the reason why in this particular case, his sergeant was contacted, who said that he routinely was allowed to work from home. And so he worked the hours, just not within the time frames, but because part of his 40 hour shift was done at his residence per his sergeant, then that messed up the GPS documentation for when he was in the city. And I don't have the exact hours as far as the weeks, but he was in the city for more than 40 hours, which demonstrates that he was in fact working those camp mitigation shifts in addition to the stuff that he was doing at home. Does that help clarify? Because I'm happy to try.
Probably clarifies the information you have. No, it doesn't clarify how we're accounting for this time, though.
So the time that's listed in the notice is the time in which the camp mitigation shifts were signed up for. So let's say it was a 12 to 4. So Salt Lake City then looked at his GPS device to see if he was in the city from 12 to 4. If he was not there, they constituted that as him not working the hours because it wasn't within the time frame. What Officer Hargrove has said is that he worked the hours. He worked them at a different time based upon his particular shift. Does that make sense? And then given the fact that he also had permission to work at home, that's part of the reason why they can't document his entirety of the regular 40-hour shift in addition to these overtime shifts. Because the way that it was working is they could do it, it just wasn't within the time frame.
So on the notice here, for example, October 19th, he missed the entire 4-hour shift because he called in sick. You're saying that he worked that, just not during the time?
No, on that one, there. Yeah. So the issue on that one actually was is that he was home for part of that, and he also actually was in the city for part of it. He went home early, sick, but that would have come off of his regular time, as opposed to the time for the camp mitigation shift. Does that make sense? So he was there, ended up going home early. So that's the reason for the sick call out there.
Any additional questions for this particular case? Yes.
I agree with the deviation that we're doing for these officers. What I'm concerned about is we're taking care of the officers. What is happening with the supervisors?
It'd be up to the agencies.
Well, I think as Director Reese mentioned, you have had conversations with the department and they are trying to address the issue, right?
I'd say the current administration is also looking at the dilemma of this being an old problem that was addressed and now it's in front of post and you have a whole new administration now also.
I don't disagree with Sheriff Wimmer. I think it's important to know for the council whether this affects the decision or not, that it would appear that there are variations of alleged violations here and punishment by the department, which some is more and some is less. And so as we consider a blanket decision here, maybe we consider that as well.
Yeah, thank you.
And so one of the other things I wanted to let the council know is that in regards to the discipline that was imposed to that question, Salt Lake City obviously has a new administration, and so this new chief is walking into this situation basically trying to address the old issues, right? And so Salt Lake City has a policy that allows for these officers to essentially, if they do get a 90-day suspension, he has the ability on his own to put them, for lack of a better term, on leave without taking any additional action against their job. If it's anything more than 90 days, then they will not be able to keep their jobs. But if it falls within that 90 days or below, then there is, at least at his discretion, the ability to do that. My understanding is that that will be done on a case-by-case basis. That's one of the issues that these guys are facing, is that this was something that occurred in 2022, and the discipline was then imposed in 2024, but now they're in front of post at this point in time on it.
Thank you.
One question for you. In regards to each individual officer, would you like them to speak before, like once you get all the information on the cases, will they have an opportunity to speak before they?
Yeah, we'll call each case back one at a time.
Okay. Is there any other questions that I can answer from the big picture standpoint here? Okay, thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you. I believe the next related case is that of Max Latou.
Next matter is the certification of Max Latou currently with the Salt Lake City Police Department. Substantiated allegation is falsification of government record, category D. POSA is downward deviating from the one-year baseline of 3 months. This is based on the mitigating circumstances, common practice, and lack of oversight. Similar to the other facts, Max Latu was a post-certified peace officer with Salt Lake City Police Department, was investigated by his agency for falsifying his time card. Investigation determined through GPS that Latu did not work the overtime he claimed. SLCPD substantiated the allegation, and he was given 10 hours unpaid suspension. He participated in a Garrity interview. During the interview, Latu nodded his head in agreement. When the investigator told Latu it appeared he knew he was entering at incorrect times, Latu then replied that he should have fixed time entries and that his time card should have been correct. On May 14th, 2025, Latu waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you, Mr. Latu. Would you like to address counsel or have your attorney?
I just had a brief request. Jason Sweat again, representing Mr. Latu as well as Mr. Betancourt. There was a late message sent on behalf of Mr. Latu to you folks, his supervisor at Salt Lake PD. And if it would be okay, I would read it into the record. I have a few copies if you're interested in having it.
Is it from their employer?
It is his current employer, but it's not the decision maker, it's not director right now.
Okay, so it's got to be from the employer's feet. Shall provide to the council.
Yeah, so we're unable to provide it. It's up to you guys, however you guys want to proceed to accept it or not.
Yeah, in all honesty, it really just kind of speaks to the.
I'm not sure about what was said about the 90 days from Salt Lake PD's policies or not, but I know that Salt Lake City, depending on how the post comes down on this collective group of cases, will have to decide how to reallocate resources because none of these individuals, in my understanding, are on leave. And so how they're going to juggle that and manage that, it'll be something. And this supervisor just wrote a note to you folks to say, hey, we really value Mr. Latu and would love to have him not take any time off. So I think that's the gist of it. If that's okay on the record, I can just summarize it that way and let Mr. Latu speak for himself. Does that work? Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning, y'all. Sorry. I first want to say that I'm embarrassed to even be standing before you in this position. I love my career. I truly found that law enforcement is my passion, and I go to work and call outs excited to see what the day holds. I want to express that I 100% own up to and take accountability for my mistakes. I have received my punishment from my department of being suspended without pay for a day, and I'm here before you guys in hopes of getting my punishment reduced, which I would not take lightly. In my 3 years of working for Salt Lake City Police Department, this is the only sustained complaint I've ever had, and I wish that I never had any at this point, but I can promise you I'll do everything to make this my last. Just to provide some insight, in October of 2022, I was 4 months off FTO. My dad's health was declining and I was living with my parents as the main financial provider and caretaker for my family. I say this not to excuse what I've done, but just to try to explain this, it really was just a mistake. My dad got suddenly sick and during this time he was very forgetful, leaving random things around the house and talking to himself. So I had to step up and take the role as the head of the household. He was in and out of the hospital during the months of October, November, and he eventually passed away December of 2022. So my mind and mentality wasn't really at work at that time. I swear to you all, my intent was never to try to steal time or anything like that. It was an honest mistake during a time that my mental space wasn't there. From the time I got out of the police academy, I realized that policing was more than just a job I wanted to do. And I still want to grow within the field and push myself to do the best I can. Within the 3 years of working here, I landed a spot on the bikes unit and SWAT team. I cannot express enough how much I regret not adjusting those time cards and how it will never happen again. I poured a lot of myself and my energy into the community and police work and will love the opportunity to continue to do so. I'm hoping you all see fit to reduce my punishment. I again apologize that I even have to ask you all for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions specific to Mr. Latu? Thank you. And I believe the next related case would be Santiago Perez.
The next certification is that of Santiago Perez, currently with the Salt Lake City Police Department. Substantiated allegation is falsification of a government record. which falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 1 year, post is recommending 3 months, and that is based on the mitigating circumstances of common practice and lack of oversight. The facts are as follows. Santiago Perez was investigated by his agency for falsification of work documents and other policy violations. The investigation revealed that Perez made several overtime shift entries in his time card that were inaccurate. Over the course of six overtime shifts, Perez claimed an extra 6 hours and 27 minutes of overtime. According to GPS data, Perez arrived late, left earlier, both from one or more of the shifts. During a Garrity interview with his agency, Perez confirmed he was he entered incorrect time and logged it into his computer and changed the status when available prior to arriving to his shift. Perez agreed that he wanted to appear as though he was in the city working, acknowledged that what he was doing was wrong. Perez, on May 17th, 2025, Perez waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Perez or counsel, would you like to address the body?
Yes. Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I want to begin by taking full responsibility for my actions regarding the inaccurate time card entries I submitted in October of 2022. I understand that as a law enforcement officer, I am held to a higher standard of honesty, integrity, and accountability. On and off duty, my actions did not reflect those values, and for that, I sincerely apologize. When the department initiated the investigation, I cooperated fully, and during my Garrity interview, I acknowledged my errors and offered to repay any compensation I received. I never deflected blame, minimized the impact of my actions, or tried to hide from what I had done. As a result, I received a suspension of 4 shifts without pay and suspended from participating in overtime for 6 months. I accepted that discipline and used it as an opportunity to reflect and grow. But more than that, I took proactive steps to address the broader issue within the department, as there were many patrol officers who were engaged in similar conduct who would log on during their commute time or head home 30 minutes before the end of their shift. This was a common practice among patrol officers during shift and on overtimes. I volunteered to speak at officer lineups with IA, where I shared my experience in details, what I did, how it happened, and why it violated policy, in an effort to help others understand the seriousness of the issue before making any similar mistakes. My intent was not only to acknowledge my own wrongdoing, but to help correct a systemic misunderstanding of commute time and reinforce the importance of accurate timekeeping and ethical conduct. With that in mind, I respectfully ask that the discipline being considered today take into account the significant consequence I have already faced, both professionally and personally. I served my department's imposed penalties in full, accepted responsibility without hesitation, and work to address not only my own conduct, but the broader culture that allowed this misunderstanding to persist. I want to express my sincere regret. I understand that trust is not given, it's earned. I'm committed to continue that work every day, not just in words, but through my actions. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Are there any questions specific to Mr. Perez? I believe the next related case would be Gordon Swift.
Next certification is the certification of Gordon Swift, currently with the Salt Lake City Police Department. This falls on a substantiated allegation. It's falsification of a government record, which falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post is recommending 3 months. This is a downward deviation from the one-year baseline based on the common practice at the agency and lack of oversight. Gordon Swift, a post-certified law enforcement officer with the Salt Lake City Police Department, was administratively investigated by his agency for falsifying his time card. The investigation determined through GPS data Swift did not work all the overtime he claimed. Salt Lake City Police Department substantiated the allegation, and he was given 20 hours unpaid suspension. Swift participated in a Garrity interview with Post. During the interview, Swift admitted to Post that he did not have permission to record more hours than he had worked and agreed his time card entry should be more accurate. Swift failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and an order of default was signed by an administrative law judge and mailed to Swift on May 20th, 2025.
Thank you. Mr. Swift, would you like to address the council?
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. I'd like to just clarify like how I came to be working him in that fashion. So the background is we have a number of overtime gigs in the department that are basically a minimum block, but you're just coming in and getting the work done. It's the number of our traffic control gigs are like that. Allied parking, sometimes the Salt Palace shifts, and then all of the school shifts are like that as well, all of our extra duty things with the school district. And at that point, I had been working 5 years in the school district and was almost exclusively working ones like that, where you got entered in as a four-hour block, but you were just working a task. It was like anything from 90 minutes to 3 hours, depending on what you were getting done. And so on these, there had been some back and forth in the emails about whether these could be flexible or adjusted or anything like that. So I had asked a sergeant at one point, hey, what's the deal? Like, can these be adjusted? Are these flexible? And the answer I got, it was Ryan Sanders was the sergeant over the homeless stuff at the time. And he said, we don't want guys flexing or adjusting these for the mitigation. And by the mitigation, I mean you would go out with civilians in very set time blocks, and they would be collecting the belongings and this and that. But he said the other ones were flexible, could be flexed. And like his phrasing was basically, hey, I just need you guys to come in here, get the tents cleared out, get the business doorways cleared, because that was the big thing. They wanted to bring down the business complaints. And so I made a bad assumption. I assumed that meant these were just blocks, minimum blocks like my other overtimes, that as long as I came in here, got those businesses cleared, got those tents cleared out, that we were good. And so I wasn't trying to get there right at 6 every time. I would come in usually 6 to 7, something like that, work a lot of times like 3 hours or whatever it was until we got those all cleared out. The next shift would get on and we'd hand it off and go. I'm not putting that on Sanders. I made an assumption that wasn't mine to make, and I acknowledge that. That is my mistake. I should not have made that assumption. I should have asked him specifically, are these four-hour minimums or are they, you know, to the time? And so, again, I just want to provide some background as to how I got there. I made no effort to, you know, to hide how I was working those. I also assumed they were monitoring or at least evaluating the stats, how to deploy us and other things. And as far as I can tell, that was not being done. I've never worked any assignment where I wasn't getting feedback on my work or anything else. If I say do something incorrect, you know, our reports go to a queue, our sergeants monitor our queues and detectives. I got zero feedback on that and assumed like we were good to go. It seemed like it was just kind of a common practice. The guys, like has been mentioned, they would adjust those times and just kind of work them and get the task done. That's all. If anyone's got any questions.
Thank you. Any questions specific for Mr. Swift? Thank you, sir. I believe that is all of the cases, so I'd like to recall the case for Mark Betancourt. Give an opportunity for him or his counsel for any additional comment or rebuttal.
This is the certification of Mark Betancourt being recalled.
So, and I'd just like to remind counsel that you are statutorily required to accept the findings of fact from the ALJ because they were all either defaults or waivers. That is essentially they're admitting to the facts of the notice of agency action. You are disciplining the individual officer, not the agency, and not accounting for the actions of the agency. Everything you oppose is only for the officer. They were all charged with violation of falsification of government record, which is an actor commits falsification or alteration of government record under circumstances not amounting to potentially fraud. The actor knowingly makes a false entry or false alteration of anything belonging to or received by the government, so a record, or presents or uses anything knowingly to be false. So that's the statutes that you have before you.
Thank you for Mr. Johnson.
So, matters being recalled, he does not wish to speak, Council Chair.
Any additional questions or discussion? If not, entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to accept post recommendation for
3 months. Chief Swanson makes a motion to accept post recommendation for 3 months, and that would be under the new guidelines with 2 days credit for the previous suspension. Is that correct?
Correct.
We have a second to that motion. Second by Janetta Williams. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed?
That's unanimous. And we'll recall the case of Aaron Hargrove.
This is the recall of the certification of Aaron Hargrove.
Mr. Hargrove or counsel, would you like to address us again?
And just to clarify, Mr. Hargrove did not have an opportunity to speak to the council, so he will be speaking to the council at this point.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm glad that you guys can put a face to a name and not just a name on a piece of paper to a much bigger situation that's happened. I'm a whirlwind of emotion. I'm embarrassed to be here. I'm nervous. I'm sad. I never imagined that I'd be standing here in front of any of you guys today in my career. None of this started today or this morning. It's been going on since I received a notification in January of 2024. Every single day this has loomed over me, been on top of my shoulders as a weight, and I'm just glad to finally be here today so that we can get this all straightened out. I'm accepting responsibility for my actions. I truly am sorry for what's happened and any negative light that it's shed on the profession of law enforcement. Through each step of this process, I've taken accountability for my actions. Just as the others have talked, I've shown up, I have answered any questions, I've not been hesitant to do whatever has been asked of me. I've not tried to shift the blame or act like nothing has happened. And I've done my best to explain how these things could have occurred. This investigation is not an accurate representation of who I am as a person or a police officer. Prior to this investigation, my career has been flawless. I've performed my duties at a high level, and I have received many accommodations. My IA file is flawless. My HR file is flawless. I've had great employee evaluations, and all of those things are a testament to who I am as a police officer. This investigation began in January of 2024, and from that point, I have not stopped serving the city of Salt Lake. I've had no new complaints. I've had no new investigations. I've continued to serve at a high level. I've been recognized for good things that I have done, and I have all of my employee evaluations have been outstanding. I am embarrassed and ashamed to be here today. I've never been in this position before, and I can assure you that you will never see me here again. Even after today and after the decisions that you've made, this isn't over for me or over for anyone else that's talked about this. There are other ramifications that we're all going to have to deal with throughout the rest of our careers if we have them. All I ask is that I can continue to keep working and go to work tomorrow and continue to serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion?
Can I give you one more thing? Sorry, similar to counsel. We had a letter from his supervisor, and I just wanted to give you part of this. This stack here is the letters of commendation that Officer Hargrove has received. He's the guy that you want when you're on a call and you need a back. He's the guy that you want when something happens. In the course of his 8-year career, he's had 3 life-saving awards and was also provided a Medal of Valor by the NAACP. He is a fantastic officer. The supervisor that is currently working over him says that he exemplifies dedication, integrity, and professionalism. And what truly sets him apart is his reliability and character. He is the one employee that can always be trusted to follow policies, conduct himself with honor, and treat everyone he encounters with dignity and respect. His honesty and trustworthy made him stand out as a member of the squad and someone that can always be counted on to complete assignments thoroughly and independently. It also talks about his ability to maintain his communication and keep his supervisors up to date. And so based upon this information, and again, I think what makes this particular case different is that he was also being given that opportunity to work at home, which is why this particular audit makes it appear as though there's more hours on him than there is on others. And that's simply because the time is accounted for because the blocks were not worked at the time, which to Mr. Jorgensen's statement earlier, that is what the officer is admitting to. The time card issue is if it said from 10 to 2 and he worked from 4 to 8, then obviously that is an inaccurate representation. In this case, he maintains that the hours were worked. It's just that the time card reflected a different time. And so that's what the admission is for. Based upon that information, the fact that he worked these shifts, that it was the common practice, we're asking the council to consider a deviation downward in this case and look at a letter of caution. Obviously, again, he's taken responsibility. He's also clearly, just like the other gentlemen have, been punished at Salt Lake City. But again, because there is this concern that we don't know what's going to happen, there is the possibility that he could become unemployed as a result of this. And so based upon that, we're asking the court, or excuse me, the council to consider a downward deviation.
Thank you. Questions or discussion? Entertained.
Was there any way at all,
it sounds like, to prove? I understand what you're saying. He worked the hours just not at the time he reported. Any documentation that
And this is the hard part, right? Because I don't want to stand here and I don't want to bash Salt Lake City either. The fact of the matter is they have new leadership and hopefully these issues are not going to happen again. But the issue is that Salt Lake City was not particularly helpful in providing the information. And while these officers are able to provide you letters from their sergeants and their direct staff, there's a reason why you're not getting letters from the chief in this situation, because now he's going to have to go back and possibly impose discipline as a result of post-action. And so he can't say, I want to keep this person or I don't, because that's going to have to be readdressed again. And so we don't have documentation. The only documentation we were able to provide is listed in the notice of agency action, which is the fact that the supervisor was very clear that he was working and had permission to be doing that. But like I said, because of the way the audit was run with the GPS device, clearly his car is parked in his driveway at the residence, which I think can be verified. He wasn't out, you know, doing different things, but he was at his home during these particular hours and, again, maintains that the hours were worked. So, but as far as getting anything from 2 years prior, we were not given the ability to do that.
It doesn't escape me that he was the second most harshly punished out of the five, which means their investigation, they must believe at least some of that.
Well, I think part of it comes from the number of shifts, it seems. At least that's what it appears to be, is that each shift was resulted in a day.
Okay, back to the council for potential motion.
Motion to accept.
We have a motion to accept the recommendation, and that would be 3 months suspension from today with a credit for 3 days that he was suspended from his department, correct? Do we have a second on that motion? Second from Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the 3 month suspension with 3 days credit, say aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes. And we'll recall the case of Max Latu.
This is the recall of the certification of Max Latu. And I believe you've heard from Mr. Latu. It appears that Mr. Sweat. So you've heard from all parties.
So Latu, did you have an additional comment? Any questions or discussion? Okay, back to the council for a motion. Chair Fuller.
I will make the motion. We accept post's recommendation of 3 months suspension.
Motion to accept post recommendation. This is a little difficult probably for a suspension to include hours of suspension. I would suggest that 10 hours is probably 1 day credit. That part of your motion. So a motion is for 3 month suspension with one credit for previous suspension from his department. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Chief Adams has a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, that motion passes.
Recalling the certification of Santiago Perez.
What months? How long is that? I mean, is it 90 days? Because of my own misstatement of math, you know, it'd be sort of, is he suspended 89 days or is it 3 calendar months starting?
89 when? Days, right?
Yeah, well, would it be calculated by days? Yes.
So,
3 months from today, so it would be the 24th with 1 day credit, so the 23rd of the third month.
Thank you.
Yes?
Clarification.
That's.
Oh,
we were
out of
that question.
Makes sense.
Good question.
Hey,
good
question.
Good question.
A lot of time your violation or
suspension on. Not a leap year.
Yeah. Okay. Recalling the certification of the matter of the certification of Santiago Perez. No comments needed by the council or by the respondent officer.
Any questions or discussion? Not to the council for a motion.
Motion to accept post recommendation through
3 month
suspension.
We'll have a motion to accept post recommendation for 3 month suspension with 4 days credit. Chief Willem?
Yeah, for 4 days.
Is that the motion? 4 days. 4 days credit for previous suspension. And a second from
John Crowley.
Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Next will be the case of Gordon Swift.
Recalling the the matter of the certification of Gordon Swift.
Thank you.
You're just welcome. You can come up here if you'd like.
Any questions or discussion? And looking for a motion.
Motion to accept post recommendation of 3 months minus 2 days.
A motion from Chief Swanson for 3 month suspension with 2 days credit. Do we have a second?
Second
from Colonel Rappage. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
Yeah, motion passes.
Before we move on, I do have a question for the director.
Yeah.
So, you said there was an audit and we saw the most egregious cases. Do you know what the cutoff was for following?
I don't know.
The hours on we're not going to send this group to the group we sent?
I don't know.
Just below that cutoff, then you don't come before us whatsoever.
Or either in November or September or February.
Yeah. It's a tough case.
All right, the next matter is Jared Cardon.
The matter of the certification of Jared Cardon, formerly employed with the Unified Police Department. Substantiated allegation is possession of a firearm by a restricted person, carrying a dangerous weapon while under the influence of drugs, driving under the influence, and possession of a controlled substance. This falls under Category A of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post is recommending revocation. The baseline is revocation. And our aggravating circumstances are multiple charges. This conduct occurred while he was on duty and while he was in a marked police vehicle. Summary of the facts are as follows. On his way home from work, so in his duty vehicle on his way home from duty, so in uniform. So just clarifying, just want to make sure the facts are correct. Jared Carden was investigated by a local police agency for possession of a firearm by a restricted person carrying a dangerous weapon under the influence of drugs, possession of controlled substance, and driving under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or a combination of both. On June 12, 2021, Carden was involved in a single vehicle crash. Carden was unconscious inside his department-issued vehicle, dressed in full uniform, including his gun belt. Medical professionals observed signs of possible drug impairment and administered Narcan to Carden. Carden was transported to the hospital for medical care. Blood tests showed that Carden was positive for fentanyl at the time of the traffic accident. Investigators found fentanyl pills inside his vehicle. The local agency confirmed with UPD that Carden had not been exposed to fentanyl during his shift. Carden resigned before participating in an administrative investigation and interview with his agency, and criminal charges were filed. On December 2nd, 2021, charges were filed for possession of a firearm carrying a dangerous weapon while under the influence of drugs, DUI, possession of a controlled substance. On May 2nd, 2025, he entered a guilty plea to the possession charge of a firearm, a third-degree felony, and impaired driving, a Class B misdemeanor. All other charges were dropped as part of the plea agreement. Carden did not participate in a Garrity interview with Post. Carden failed to respond to the notice of agency action. And on June 18th, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Carden.
Is Mr. Carden or counsel for Mr. Carden present? Seeing none, are there any questions for Post? Looking for a motion.
Motion to accept Post recommendation.
Okay, John Crowley motions to accept Post recommendation for revocation of Mr. Carden's certification. Do we have a second? Second by David Peterson. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, that motion passes. Thomas Curry, this next case.
The next matter is the certification of Thomas Curry, formerly employed with the South Jordan Police Department. Substantiated allegations are offenses are property damage, lying under Garrity, and dishonesty in violation of policy. This falls under category A, D, and E of the Post Disciplinary Guidelines. Post recommends a revocation, which is the baseline for category A, and for aggravating circumstances, we have multiple offenses. Officer Thomas Curry's employment with the South Jordan Police Department was terminated following investigation into an incident on December 11, 2024. Two officers reported seeing Curry intentionally puncture two bicycle tires at a homeless encampment. According to the witnesses, Curry stated his motive was to prevent the homeless individuals from using the bicycle. Curry offered conflicting accounts to the event, initially claiming he was checking the inflation with his knife, and then later stated that the punctures were accidental while separating the tire from the rim. However, supervisor's test demonstrated the difficulty of unintentionally puncturing the tires. Curry denied intentionally puncturing the tires verbally and through an email to his supervisors. And then during a subsequent Garrity interview, Curry again claimed the punctures were accidental, contradicting the earlier witness statements and evidence. Curry failed to respond to a notice of agency action on April 2nd, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and was mailed to Curry.
Mr. Curry or counsel for Mr. Curry present? Appears not. Any questions for Post?
Just how are we putting this in category A? Under which one of these does that fall under?
So it's lying under Garrity.
It says dishonesty in violation of department policy.
Yeah, so we have, sorry. So on my document here, we have property damage, lying under Garrity, and dishonesty in violation of policy.
All right.
So we do have all three, A, B, A, D, and E.
Does have the count in the notice. Okay. And that count is reflected in the notice for falsification. Any additional questions or discussion? You're looking for a motion on the matter of Mr. Curry.
Motion to accept Post recommendation of revocation.
Thank you, Chief Adams. And second from Chief Swanson for revocation of Mr. Curry's certification. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, that motion passes. Looks like the next case will be Kevin Harmon.
This is the certification of Kevin Harmon. Substantiated allegation. Not currently employed and was not employed at the time of the offense. Substantiated allegation is trespassing, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post is recommending 3.5 years, which is an upward deviation from the three-year baseline, and this is due to the aggravating circumstances of a previous post case. Kevin Harmon was served an eviction order and excluded and removed from his apartment. Later that same day, Harmon returned to the apartment and entered the residence using a ladder. When an officer responded, he found Harmon inside the apartment collecting belongings. The officer could not confirm the eviction order and had been served and allowed Harmon to leave. Upon further investigation, the officer confirmed the order and Harmon was charged with trespassing in the local court. Harmon did not appear in court and the prosecutor obtained a warrant for Harmon's arrest. The warrant remains unserved because Harmon has moved out of state for school and is not scheduled to return until after his certifications expire. The post investigator has not been able to contact Mr. Harmon directly. Harmon's certification was suspended for previous misconduct at the time of the incident. This is case number 22-031. Harmon failed to respond to the notice of agency action on May 12, 2025. An order of default was signed and mailed to Mr. Harmon.
Mr. Harmon or counsel for Mr. Harmon present? Appears not. Any questions or discussion for post? So just for clarification, when this occurred in November of 2024, he was currently suspended.
He was.
His certification was suspended.
Unfortunately, I don't recall what the event was for. Electronic communication, harassment, and threats of violence is what his previous post-suspension was for. So he was under suspension at the time of this event.
What was his...
How many years was he suspended the first time?
He called him.
I
can get that information, but I don't have that at this time.
We don't know what the previous offense was.
No, the previous offense was electronic communication harassment and... So we just sustained the electronic communication harassment for that one. And the reason we're going with Category B on this one is because it was trespass of a residence and not just a simple trespass of property. So it was charged as Class A. And that's what the current warrant is provided for as well.
Chief Olson?
Based on the fact that he is committing this while he's already on a pretty severe suspension, I make a motion that we just revoke him.
Second. We have a motion from Chief Swanson for revocation of the certification. A second from Colonel Rappage. Do we have any discussion on that motion? All in favor of rejecting post recommendation for 3.5 year suspension and instead issuing a revocation, you say aye.
Aye.
Are any opposed? That's unanimous.
The next certification, the next matter is the certification of Jace Hutchings, formerly with the St. George Police Department. Substantiated allegation is a BCI violation, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 months, but post is upward deviating and going to 6 months suspension, and this is due to the amount of violations, dissemination, and two previous post cases. Summary of the facts are as follows. Jace Hutchings, a certified law enforcement officer with St. George Police Department, was investigated by his agency for a BCI violation. The investigation discovered that on June 13, 2023, Hutchings was dispatched to a theft call. While meeting with the victim, Hutchings disseminated protected information to the individual. Hutchings resigned during an internal investigation and was not interviewed by his agency. St. George Police Department sustained a violation of their department, USCGIS, or Utah Criminal Justice Information System policy. There was no other criminal charges screened. Hutchings did not participate in the post investigation. Hutchings failed to respond to the notice of agency action on April 16, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Hutchings.
Is Mr. Hutchings or counsel for Mr. Hutchings present? Appears not. I do have one question for Post. So we have a resignation of 9823. Do we know if there was a suspension previous to his resignation?
There was no suspension active at the time, no.
Any questions, additional questions for Post? Okay, looking for a motion.
Motion to accept
a six-month suspension, which would begin on September 8th of 2023. And do we have a, thank you, Colonel Rappage. Second from Janetta Williams. Any discussion on that motion?
Question?
Yes.
We have two previous post cases.
Correct.
Do we have more context?
I found it.
I'm just reading. They were both BCI matters and both letters of caution.
Sergeant Timpson, Post. The first was a wildlife violation where he was collecting antlers in Nevada, and we took no action on that. And the second was a falsification of a government record where he was the victim and submitted a false report to the police to try to protect his wife.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Sergeant Timpson, sorry for the misinformation, getting information from multiple sources, so I'm glad we had Sergeant Timpson here. So,
and was there a suspension on that?
No.
On the second one.
On the second one.
No, because he was the victim of domestic violence, no action was taken.
I only brought that up because of the case we just heard,
yeah.
And we did an upward deviation for the previous post cases, so I just didn't know if we wanted to consider that.
Great point. Thank you for bringing that up.
I think because there was no action taken on either one of those.
So, but Post has made and recommendation is an upward deviation from
based on the multiple people and the dissemination. So,
any other questions?
And you do, this is just me being. You do have a current motion before you.
We do have a motion before us for a six-month suspension.
And Janetta seconded.
And Janetta Williams with a second. Any additional discussion on that motion? Hey, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Next case is Kayla Leffler.
The certification of... Kyla or Kayla Leffler, formerly with the Provo Police Department / Central Utah 911 Dispatch Center. The substantiated allegation is lying under Garrity, which falls under Category A of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is revocation. Post is recommending revocation. Kyla Leffler, a post-certified dispatcher, became romantically involved with a local police officer when she found out that the officer had another girlfriend. She sent the girlfriend an anonymous text message revealing that the officer was cheating. The messages were sent using an application that hid the sender's actual phone number and took place over a couple of days. An initial message was followed by several additional messages when the girlfriend engaged the sender in a conversation. The officer felt the messages came from somebody at work and filed a complaint to the city Human Resource Department. Which initiated an investigation. During the investigation, Leffler participated in a Garrity interview and said she had no knowledge of the messages. Later, during a second Garrity interview, she said all the messages were sent from her phone and that she is the one that sent them. During a Garrity interview with Post, Leffler admitted she initially said that she did not send the messages and then said that she sent the first messages but did not know who sent the additional messages. She said she worded her response poorly to the questions in the second Garrity interview and did not intend to admit to sending the messages. Leffler said she only intended to take responsibility for the one message because they came from her phone. Leffler said she did not send the later messages and still thought the other coworker sent them. Leffler failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on March 25th, 2025, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge at Milton Leffler.
So, Ms. Leffler or counsel present? There's not any questions for post. Okay, looking for a motion.
Motion to accept post recommendation of revocation.
Thank you,
Chief Willem. Motion to accept post recommendation for revocation. Do we have a second? John Crowley for a second. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
I'm going to recuse myself on the next case. And
that's good. I'll just bend over.
Try to get the mic over to
okay. Response. We'll call the next case. Is Bradley Lund. Is Bradley Lund or a representative here?
This is the certification of Bradley Lund, formerly with the Davis County Sheriff's Office, substantiated allegation of sexual conduct on duty, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 years. Post is recommending 3.5 years, and this is due to the multiple offenses or multiple events. Summary of the facts are as follows. A Davis County clerk notified the Davis County Sheriff's Office that she and Bradley Lund, a certified deputy working in the court, engaged in sexual intercourse while Lund was on duty. The clerk provided documentation of up to 46 instances where she met with Lund and they engaged in sexual activity while being compensated. The relationship lasted for several years. Lund resigned before participating in the Garrity interview with the Davis County Sheriff's investigator. During a Garrity interview with Post investigator, Lund admitted to having sexual intercourse with the clerk while on paid lunch breaks. Lund stated that he could not dispute the number of instances of sexual intercourses the clerk provided. On May 7th, 2025, Lund waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Post? Mr. Lund, would you like to speak?
Thank you for hearing me today. It's humiliating and disappointing to have to stand in front of you all. It has been a very tough year. I let my family down, my friends down, my department down. I don't want this to reflect the person that I truly am. I've done a lot of good for my department, a lot of extra duties, and I've always received excellent evaluations. I regret this behavior, and this behavior will never be a problem in the future. This is a career that I love and that I want to be a part of, and I ask this council to accept the joint recommendation, and thank you for hearing me.
Any questions for Mr. Lund from council? With that, does anyone want to make a motion?
Motion to accept. We have a motion to accept by Colonel Ravitch.
We've got 2 seconds. Second from Sheriff Wimmer. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you. Next case would be Chad Soaf.
This is the certification of Chad Soaf, formerly with the Woods Cross Police Department. Substantiated allegation is falsification of a government record, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 1 year, and POST is recommending the 1 year. On September 28, 2022, Chad Soaf, a post-certified peace officer with Woods Cross City, knowingly recorded false information in a government document. The false information resulted in Soaf receiving a reimbursement of $300. The allegation was referred to the Attorney General's Office for investigation. This resulted in Soaf being charged with falsification of a government record, a Class B misdemeanor. On August 30th, 2023, Soaf resigned from Woods Cross Police. During a Garrity interview with Post, Soaf admitted to fabricating a story of purchasing a table for $300 and completing the reimbursement document. On May 6, 2025, Soaf waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Schoaf for counsel for Mr. Schoaf present?
Hello, counsel again. Mr. Schoaf was unable to attend today. He simply conveys his regret for having this issue before you, and that's all.
And just for record, that was Jason Sweat, counsel for Ted Schoaf.
Any questions or discussion?
No. Did you say he was charged? Or did you say he was not charged?
So resulting, he was charged with falsification of government record, Class B, Mr. Mayor.
Any additional questions? Looking for a motion.
Motion to accept post recommendation.
David Peterson, motion to accept post recommendation for 1 year suspension, which would begin on August 30th of 23. Date of resignation. We have a second.
Second
by Chief Adams. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you. Next matter is Kenneth Watson.
This is the certification of Kenneth Watson, formerly employed with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. Substantiated allegations are willful falsification to obtain certification and falsification of a government record. This falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 1 year, and POST is recommending an upward deviation of 1.5 years due to the aggravating circumstances of multiple offenses for willful and also for falsification. Kenneth Watson, a post-certified corrections deputy with Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, applied for a peace officer position with another local law enforcement agency. During the background check, investigator for the local agency found discrepancies between the information provided by Watson to the agency and information he provided to the on his post application. The background check investigator subsequently notified Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office and Post of the issue. During Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office administrative investigation, Watson was found to have falsified pre-employment documents with the agency. The employment was subsequently terminated. The findings of Post investigation show through clear and convincing evidence that Watson falsified pre-employment documents with Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office in his post application. On March 13, 2025, Watson waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Is Mr. Watson or counsel for Mr. Watson present? Appears not. Do we have any questions for Post? Is there any discussion on the matter or anyone wish to make a motion?
Make a motion that we accept post recommendation of 1.5 years.
Thank you, Dr. Schween. So motion to accept a 1.5 year suspension is recommended by Post. That suspension would begin on May 21st of 24, of his termination. Do we have a second on that motion? Second by Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? And the next matter is Daniel Willingham.
The final matter before the post council today is the certification of Daniel Willingham. He is formerly with the Utah Department of Corrections. Substantiated allegations are domestic violence, property damage, 2 counts, domestic violence in the presence of a child, 4 counts, violation of a protective order, 3 counts, and electronic communications harassment and stalking. This falls under categories A, B, D, and F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Based on the category A, this is a revocation, and our aggravating circumstances are the multiple offenses that that occurred. Daniel Willingham, a post-certified corrections officer with Utah Department of Corrections, was criminally and administratively investigated for domestic violence-related crimes. Willingham's employment with UDC was terminated when UDC substantiated the allegations. As part of the plea agreement, Willingham pled no contest to disorderly conduct. During a Garrity interview with Post investigators, Willingham admitted to damaging property and damaging the property in the presence of his 4 children. Subsequently, Willingham was criminally investigated for violating a protective order on three different occasions. Willingham was arrested as a result of the investigation. Charges have been filed in the county prosecutor, by the county prosecutor, and the court proceedings are still pending. During a Garrity interview with Post, investigators, Willingham admitted to violating the protective order on each of the three occasions. Willingham was criminally investigated for electronic communication harassment and stalking. Willingham was arrested as a result of the investigation, and charges have been filed by the county prosecutor. The court proceedings are still pending in that matter as well. During a Garrity interview with Post investigators, Willingham admitted to sending the victim over 40 text messages after having been instructed not to send or not to contact any further. A couple of days later, the victim again told Willingham to stop texting or he would be charged with electronic communication harassment and or stalking. Willingham responded to those text messages with additional text messages. Willingham failed to respond to a notice of agency action, and on May 7th, 2025, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Willingham.
Spencer Turley will recuse himself in this matter. Is Mr. Willingham or counsel for Mr. Willingham present? Any questions for Post? None. Back to the council for discussion or motion.
Make a recommendation, accept Post recommendation of revocation.
A motion from
numerous council every week.
Thank you. Motion from John Crowley to accept Post recommendation of revocation. Do we have a second? Second by David Peterson. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed?
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Yockey. And thanks to all of the investigators for all your hard work and all you guys do. We really appreciate you bringing the information to us in such a great way. So thank you. We do? Okay, awesome. So I think our next matter of business is a schedule. Next meeting for our next quarter. Generally hold the meeting sometime in September. Any recommendations?
First week
of September. I'm available. I'm not available on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but I would be on Monday.
Monday's Labor Day.
So we're all available.
How about Monday the 15th through the 17th Sheriff's Association?
Right.
9th.
Actually, I think the Sheriff's Association is the 23rd. Through the 23rd through 25th. Yeah. So the week of the 15th or the 16th is available. What was your suggestion?
September 9th, but I'm good. 16th too.
9th. I would not be available on the 9th or the 10th.
16th
that week. 15th or 16th would be good for me. But
Mondays are hard. 16th, does that work?
16th? Tuesday the 16th, 10 a.m.? Going once, going twice.
Sold.
Sold.
I'm not playing with my phone right now, so I only did that once. That's a great memory.
I actually appreciate it. I need the reminder.
Do we have any additional comments or discussion for this meeting? Director, anything further?
Thanks, everyone. We do have lunch. So we'll put in the next room.
Very good. Thank you. Nothing further. We will be adjourned.